everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University. And we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our finances, career, love, relationships, and spirituality. And you know, in these difficult times of the virus and isolation and depression, we need some motivation. We need some inspiration. And we have a gentleman here, a young man, who I believe can give us that, a speaker, writer, author. Wendell Miracle is here today with us, originally from the Philippines. And years ago, he had a very devastating circumstance. His mother died. He was broke at the time. And then he started doing these inspirational Facebook, actually, no, Instagram videos, I believe. He calls it, was it Miracle? What do you call it then?
Hope Nuggets.
Okay, Hope Nuggets. Okay. And then these Hope Nuggets started to inspire a lot of people. He has over 400,000 followers. Welcome, Wendell Miracle, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's really inspiring what you're doing here with your work. And the idea that we all need to make our life a miracle in some ways, you know, to live as if it's a miracle, and even in difficult times. You talk a lot about this, you know, your happiness coach and influencer and all these kind of things. So how did you make your life a miracle, Wendell? I know your mother died, you went through hard times. Tell us about your story.
Yeah, so about 8 years ago, after battling breast cancer for over a decade, you know, my mother passed away, and it was so devastating for me. She was my best friend, and my heart goes out to everybody who was going through a loss right now. This year has been tough for a lot of people. They've been going through losses, and I've experienced it myself. And at the time, it felt like the world was over for me, you know, but I realized that if my mom were around, she'd want me to be happy. So one day I said, you know what, life's too short to be depressed. And I studied principles found in the law of attraction and gratitude. And I started practicing them myself. And I was able to take myself out of the dumps, you know, and make a life out of it.
That's kind of cool. And I see you have happiness and gratitude right behind you. Those little sayings, I really like those.
And yes.
Very positive. Now, let me ask you, were you suicidal at the time, or did thoughts come in your head? I know you said you're broke. Did you say you're too broke to go bankrupt at the time?
Yes, because when you file for bankruptcy, you have to pay a fee. I was so broke, I couldn't pay the fee for bankruptcy.
Okay, that's not good. Okay, that's bad news.
And as far as the suicidal thoughts, yes, those thoughts that come to my mind. And I didn't want to be here because, you know, I was 24 at the time when my mom died, and I realized, you know what, she's not going to be there for my wedding. She's not going to be there when I have kids or when my career takes off. I wanted, as much as it's great to have an audience, I wanted my mom to be there to see all that, and to know that that wasn't going to be the case was very devastating for me. So those thoughts definitely entered my mind.
I can see that. So what turned you around? I know you started making these 15-second little videos on Instagram, Hope Nuggets. So tell me about that. How did that come about?
Yes, back in 2013, Instagram only gave you 15 seconds to speak on video. So it was literally a nugget-sized video that's designed to bring you hope. And one of the things that was therapeutic for me was I've learned that if you're depressed, don't go sit around just wallowing in self-pity. Go help cheer people up. And then, you know, God, the universe will make sure that you become happy. So I made these inspirational videos really quick. I spoke on things like gratitude and self-love, some of the things that you talk about, you know, on your podcast. And people liked it. And it started with only 100 followers, and some large accounts, celebrities started reposting my posts. And then 7 years later, we're at 400,000 followers.
That's amazing. And you were born in the Philippines. Did you come here as a little kid over here?
Yes, I was born in the Philippines. I grew up in New Jersey for about 15 years. Okay. I spent the last 10 years of my life in San Diego.
Okay. A little New Jersey accent maybe, no? Not a
We say things like coffee and water, but it doesn't come out too often.
Okay, I know there's delicious food. Was it chicken adobo and ponset? You guys eat that?
Oh, love it. I don't eat it every day like I used to, but it's amazing.
You're pretty skinny, so I don't think you can, right? So you look at me.
No, it would definitely cause me to gain weight.
Yes. Now, you wrote a book, actually. You call it the Have a Magical Day, 7 Keys to Living Happy. And that's actually very interesting because it kind of parallels some of the work I've been doing because you talk about gratitude. I wrote a book called The 3 Secrets of Happiness where a pompous psychiatrist goes to the mountain and meets a mystical monk who teaches him the 3 secrets. And one of the secrets is gratitude. The idea that the good that comes to you comes from outside you, perhaps, you know, higher power, God, friends, or even a stranger that helps you on the road. And you say that when you wake up in the morning, you are grateful for your 2 gifts, which are your 2 eyes. And then you start talking about 10 more blessings. Tell us about the gratitude you have.
Yes, the biggest lesson that my mom taught me was to count your blessings, you know, and they say to practice gratitude. The reason why they say that is because we're not naturally grateful people. There's not a single person I know that doesn't go to bed anxious and doesn't wake up grumpy. You know, we always have this stigma. The great Brene Brown once said, we have this stigma in our minds called not enough. When you wake up, you didn't get enough sleep. You know, you are not making enough money. We always focus on what we don't have. But gratitude is literally one of the keys to joy. And when you're grateful for what you have, you put yourself in this stratosphere of happiness that attracts more blessings into your life. So when I wake up, I say I'm grateful I opened two gifts, my eyes, I'm thankful for my health. And you can start with three things and then ask that list every day. And it literally obliterates anxiety and depression.
Right. You even say you're grateful for your toothpaste and your bed and stuff like that. The people don't think about it, right? So, I mean,
The little things. And those are all beautiful things, because if you imagine your life without them, you have a greater appreciation for it.
Definitely. And then, of course, I believe you're a Christian, or it seems like you have a background. Yes. Are you Catholic from the Philippines?
I'm a Christian. I actually grew up in church. I was a youth pastor, praise and worship leader before I stepped into the role I'm in now. But yes, I did grow up in church.
Can you talk about being grateful before you receive something? In Jesus, he was grateful for the fish and the, what was it? The fish and the bread. And then he multiplied before he had it. So I think you're talking about that first, right? You're grateful first, and then everything comes from that.
Yeah. He gave thanks and it fed 5,000 people, and the same principle holds true today. When you're grateful for the little, you're blessed with more. And when you're ungrateful, it's taken away. So it works both ways.
Yeah. And actually in positive psychology, you may have studied Seligman and others. They talk about keeping a gratitude journal can reduce depression by 30% and increase sleep by 40%. So writing three things you're grateful for every day actually has therapeutic benefits.
It does. It's not just spiritual mumbo jumbo. It's backed by science. So I truly believe it with all my heart.
Definitely. But here's the issue, Wendell, is the idea of entitlement and not being grateful. Because a lot of people complain, especially in Western societies where we have a lot of, money and riches and, electricity and water. And there are countries where people don't have that. I don't know if the Philippines is a little bit like that in the rural areas where people don't have all the necessities. But they're more appreciative, perhaps. So how do we get the people in these other places that have everything to be appreciative and not be grumbling all the time?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do come from the Philippines. It is a third world country, and we don't realize how blessed and fortunate we are to live in America. Yes. We hear a lot about in our nation now about us being oppressed, but I believe that we're our own oppressors, but with our own attitudes and perspectives. So one thing I encourage people to do is just, sometimes I watch documentaries of other countries. It makes me appreciative of what I have here in America. So little things like that, and just again making that gratitude list, that journal, helps tremendously.
Yeah, because I think of the person that has everything, and they don't really think about that, but maybe someone next to them can think about it and tell them, right? Somebody that cares about them, that there's a lot in the world that we take for granted, and that appreciation can be very powerful. Now, the other thing you talk about, these are chapters in your book, right? You talked about the seven keys, is to be a blessing. And we talk about generosity and helping other people and serving people. And I call it reversal. For example, if you're feeling lonely, you go to find the loneliest person in the room and talk to that person.
Yes, absolutely.
You reverse it from inwardly to outwardly, and then you don't have the same inner pain as well. And you mentioned something about a woman that had cancer, and she was given a few months to live in your book. And then she started reaching out to sick people and healing them and blessing them. And her cancer turned around. Tell us about that story. That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, there's a girl. She was... diagnosed with terminal cancer, only had a few weeks, months to live, and she decided not to have a self-pity party, like I was mentioning earlier, and she decided to go out and be a blessing and help other people, who were sick, and encourage them, pray for them, and then slowly but surely, her cancer went away. And in my own personal life, I started making these videos inspiring other people, and my own depression went away. So when you live to give, it's always given back to you. It may not happen right away, but it always does.
Exactly. Now, you're a relatively young man. You started at 25. What gave you this desire to help people like this? Have you always been a compassionate kid? Were you loving, or something happened to you?
I was very loving. But then when my mother died and I went through depression myself, I said, I don't want people all over the world to feel this way forever. Right. So I wanted to be able to help people. And I had a passion to do that. Mm-hmm. And it makes me happy to see someone else overcome depression. So when I started my Instagram and wrote my book and it was impacting people, it's something that I want to do the rest of my life.
That's wonderful. Now, the other thing is you talk about giving your talents to help others. And we have a term called don divino in Spanish, or don. I don't know if you've heard of that term. Maybe in Philip, Tagalog, do you have the same term? Don? Have you heard that?
Don, no. Tell me about it.
Okay. Well, don is don divino, gift from God, gift from the higher. So it's your talent. Uh-huh. Some people are great speaking, writing, some are nurturers, some are scientists or whatever it is. So giving that to humanity is a powerful thing. Yes. And you give it without expectation. You give it, for a higher purpose, and then it comes back to you. Well, you know the parable of the talents? Have you heard of that one?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's talking about, one guy got 10 of them. He doubled it. The other guy got 5. And one guy hit it under the desert, right? And then the guy got nothing. And what happened to that guy?
He wasn't a good steward over it. I always been taught
he was kicked out in the desert, right?
Exactly. Like our talent talents are God's gift to us, and you know what we do with it is our gift to God.
What is your greatest talent, would you say, Wendell?
My greatest talent, I would probably say, is public speaking. And it's something that people, obviously I'm an author and I advertise myself as a coach, but I love speaking to large crowds. It's something that was not easy to do. A lot of people have a fear of public speaking. Yes. So I started taking this thing called Toastmasters. It's in every city, like they have these organizational groups that help with your speaking. Exactly. So being able to be a communicator and speak, I would say.
I see. I did that too. Toastmasters is really cool. Can you speak Tagalog at all?
Very little. I understand it, but to speak it back is very difficult.
Like I said, that'd be great to go back to your home country. You can do great work there, I would imagine.
I would love to. That's one of my dreams and desires.
Right through an interpreter, I think, something like that.
Yes, that's an option.
Yeah, I met this one guy, you've heard of Nick Vujicic.
Nick Vujicic.
Yeah, so I talked to him a little bit, and he does a lot of ministry worldwide. You know,
he's unbelievable. So you met him?
Yeah, I met him. I met him at church, actually.
Wow, he's amazing.
He's a wonderful guy. So you want to be another minister? Is that your goal, or what is your overall purpose?
Yes, I definitely want to spread happiness and joy, but obviously at the end of the day, you know, I want to be a minister and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ as well.
Okay, so you want to do both. Now, the one thing, though, Wendell, you do talk about a limitation. You say give to others, but if people are abusing it or maybe they're not helping themselves, you draw a line. So how do you draw that line? You know, someone that you're helping and then maybe they're not really taking it the right way.
Yes, I talk about that in my book in chapter 2. I talk about irresponsible giving. And what I mean by that was when I was 18 years old, I always believed in giving. I was such a giving person. But I was giving to every charity. I was giving to everything and I wasn't keeping any for myself. So I was being very irresponsible. And I'm not just talking about your resources. People can be irresponsible with their time and their energy. Okay. What I talk about in my book is you don't have to say yes to every commitment. Yes. You know, you can say no to protect your own energy, your own peace. And with the example of somebody who's struggling, who just went through a breakup, you can give your time and your advice, but some people don't want to get better. They just want the attention. So you just have to be mindful of those things and draw the line so that you protect your own peace and energy.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting balance. Now, the other thing you talk about in, I think, one of your chapters is to visualize success. We talked about, you know, law of affirmation, law of attraction, things like that. You said you were working, I think, for a bank, and it said personal banker on your card, and you crossed it out and you put small business banker, and then you got a promotion. So you feel that was luck, or was it something that you think you created in some ways?
I believe that I was able to co-create that because whenever you want a vision and you have a desire, you're going to be attacked with thoughts of doubt and unbelief. So anything that you can do visually or energetically to get yourself to that place of faith, whether it's a prop or a vision board, I believe it definitely played a factor. So every day I saw, oh shoot, I'm a small business banker, and I felt the feelings of already having it. So honestly, it's really the emotion behind it that worked, not just the business card. It wasn't a magic trick or anything, but it was a prop that helped me get to that feeling state of being. So it definitely helped.
That's powerful, yeah, because you start to, I guess you see it in your head, right? You imagine it, and then it becomes a reality. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing you talked about is to forgive others. And forgiveness is a powerful thing. I think you had a pretty, very beautiful phrase that said, I forgave so I could set the prisoner free, and the prisoner was me. Mm-hmm. And then you said, once you really forgive someone, they're not going to trigger your anger or resentment and those kind of things. So let me ask you, in your life, did you forgive someone? Because I'm thinking, you know, we had a author here talking about the stages of grieving. You've heard of Kubler-Ross's stages. Yes. And of course, you have denial, and anger is one of them. Where we blame even the person that died. We blame them for leaving us. We can blame God, doctors.
Right.
Was there anyone that you blamed, maybe in your mother's situation or in general, that you've been able to forgive?
Absolutely. You know, I got angry with God. You know, like, why did you take her away? Why did you heal other people of cancer, but not my mom? You know, so, and this is a very real conversation right now. Like, a lot of people, I think, are afraid to have this conversation with themselves or with God. But once you are able to identify it, that's when the healing process begins, you know? So if I had just bottled this inside, I'd probably still be bitter about it, you know? But I decided, you know what? I don't want to be bitter. I want to be better. And I want to still make something out of my life. Like the Nick Vujicic, like he could have been bitter that he didn't have arms and legs, but he still made something amazing and magical out of his life. And I wanted to do the same.
I see. Did you forgive God finally?
Absolutely. 100%. And I knew that my mom was in a better place. And honestly, as a Christian, we'd rather be there than here, you know? So it's like, it's a beautiful thing. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Is it Manny Pacquiao also a Christian? Do you follow him?
He did. He had a spiritual awakening, I believe, in 2011. You know, he grew up fighting people, and then he kind of took it easier on the ring when he became Christian, but he still fights today.
When I see the guy, he seems very loving and nice, but yeah. It's hard to know. Yeah.
Oh, he actually practices. I wish I could, like, he would respond to my emails about his irresponsible giving because he gives all his money away.
Oh, okay. You know? And
it's a good thing. I love that he's helping the poor, but like when you're right. giving it all, it's not the greatest thing.
Maybe we should have him on the show. We'll invite him and you and we can all, you know,
that would be great.
And okay, so you also talk about loving yourself. And I'm part of the book I wrote is forgiving yourself as well, which is, you know, your regrets, your mistakes and things like that. So that's very important. And many times we're harder on ourselves than we are on others.
Right.
And especially if you're kind of a high achieving perfectionistic kind of guy, which it sounds like you might be that way.
I am. I'm my own worst critic.
So you have a hard time sometimes doing that, you know, letting yourself relax and taking care of yourself could be an issue, right, for high achievers.
Yes, but one of the things I mentioned in my book, and I practice this myself, so I will never tell anyone to do something that I don't do myself, but I do take care of myself. Like, you don't have to do crazy things like what I'm doing, but I do get massages, chiropractic care, you know, spa days. I do lazy Sundays. I believe all of that is important to being your absolute best.
Definitely. And the other thing I think, I talk about, I wrote a book, Love Types, on personality types and love, you know, compatibility and Myers-Briggs types. And one of the things that a lot of people, they don't know how to embrace themselves, you know, who they really are. For example, I'm more internal energy. I'm an introvert, for example. And I can embrace that. You know, you're the same way. And you can be by yourself and, you know, enjoy that.
Yeah.
But people say, well, I'm alone all the time. You know, I don't know how to meet people. And then, of course, you even said that if God would have made you tall, he would have made you tall.
Right.
So you can't play basketball, but maybe you're a good soccer player, right? Or you're fast. Or are you tall, by the way?
I'm 5'9", 160 pounds. And I believe that, you know, you have to make – yeah, it's pretty solid. I couldn't make it to the NBA, unfortunately, with my height. But it's all about making the most of the gifts you've been given. You know, some people are meant to be taller. And if you aren't, then use that talent somehow.
Okay, exactly. Now, the other thing, you were mentioning this earlier, the thing about saying no to unwanted commitments, you know, kind of like taking care of yourself. But then at the same time, Wendell, the most powerful word in the universe is yes. And you've heard the term yes and in improvisational acting, in theater games, you know, actors actually add on to each other. For example, I say, there's a cheese, green cheese on Mars. And then I say, yeah, I'm going to eat it and put sauce on it. And they keep building this big, funny story. So that's called yes and. So basically adding two things by yes. So how do you find the balance between no and yes?
Yes. So I always say, hey, I say yes. Right, to the,
so you got it.
Right. I say yes to the things that serve me and build my energy up. And I say no to anything that will take away from me. So it's all, and you'll know that based on your emotions, your mood, your energy levels. And one thing I teach people is to build your conscious awareness, you know, aware of things that make you hateful and envious. And when you see that, you address it, you know, so that's where you find that balance, is, you know, really within your emotions. Not that you live by your feelings, but they're a good indicator of what's happening in your life.
Yeah, intuition, you know, the gut feeling. In martial arts, we have a term called a hara, which is the 2 inches.
Okay.
Have you heard of the hara?
I haven't, but I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of a chakra. It's like your balance of intuition, you know, your base. So, you know, martial artists, you can't push them off balance because they're centered in that hara. In that, you know,
right.
2 inches below your navel. So that's kind of your gut, right? That's your truth. That's powerful.
It is. And even little things, like, for example, the other day I had a stiff neck. When that happens, I always believe it's a sign from God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, that I needed to rest. And I was stressing about things I don't have. So even things with your physical body, when you have a headache, things like that, it's just signs and opportunities, you know, to make an adjustment.
Maybe you meet someone on a date or someone and you feel like something in your neck, right? It doesn't feel good. Or something, or pit in your stomach.
Right.
Or maybe you feel great. You know, maybe there's a positive energy with that person and you want to pursue that relationship.
Absolutely.
And then you also talk about speaking into existence, and you talk about the word I am, which, as you know, is what God says, right? I am, right? So it's a
message of power.
And then you say that everything that follows I am can be materialized, either for good or bad. So you say, I am loveless. So you might attract people that don't love you. Or you say, I am successful or financially successful. You might attract wealth in that way. And then you say, if I am overweight, I'm going to attract a chocolate cake every day. Right? So how does that work, this kind of attraction thing?
I believe it. And here's the thing, like a lot of times when I tell people to do this, it really feels funny for them. Like, for example, for somebody who's struggling financially, for them to literally say, I am abundant or wealthy, it feels like a lie, because in the natural, you're not experiencing that. But you have to say it, because the more you say it, the more you affirm it, you know, the more you feel it, the more you actually believe it. And the more you believe it, the more it comes into your life. But it takes repetition to do that. It's just like, you know, bathing, going to the gym. You need to do it all the time in order to see results. So I believe in affirmations. I believe in what you say after the I am. What follows the I am follows you. You know, so if you say I am fat, calories will follow you. Say I am financially free. I truly believe opportunities and finances will follow you. Doesn't happen overnight, but right. with consistent practice and holding on to the vision, you know, the universe finds ways to make it happen for you.
Yeah, because in psychology, we call it cognitive behavioral therapy, where you change your irrational thoughts that, you know, I'm worthless, no one loves me. You start to change that and challenge that. Well, maybe someone loves me. Maybe it's my dog loves me. Maybe a friend or something else. And then, of course, love yourself. So, you know, changing those irrational thoughts can take time because you get comfortable with them. They become your friends.
Correct.
We call it the inner voice, the critical inner voice. But then you challenge them and you start to talk back to it. Like you said, you know, I can find love, or I have love, or I can have success and that kind of thing. Now, the other thing you talk about a little bit is how people compare themselves to others and feel worse. And that's actually called downward comparison in psychology. You may have heard the social psychology term. You feel worse if you compare to someone, actually upper comparison. If you compare yourself to someone who's doing better, you feel worse. If you compare to someone who's doing worse, you feel better, but that may not always work. So what's your advice to people that do that?
Yeah, you know what? In the day and age we're living in now, I love social media. I love the platform it's given me, but social media also has a downside. There's a toxic side to it. And that toxic side is comparing yourself to others. And comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And the problem is we compare our behind the scenes to somebody else's highlight reel. You know, we see somebody, especially who's younger than us, who's more successful, it's easy to be envious. Yes. But I've learned that that feeling, that emotion of envy literally blocks the blessings from coming into your life. Mm. Until you get to the point where you realize that there's enough abundance and energy and sunshine in the universe for all of us, you know, you won't get to that level that they're at. So when I see some, for example, if you're single, see somebody who's married, you should rejoice for them, even if you're not going through that yourself. If you're broke and you see someone who's financially free, celebrate them, because if it can happen for them, it can happen for you too, but you got to get yourself to that energy state. The problem with social media is that it gets us to this comparing game, and it's just horrible. And another example, this might make you laugh. When you see a picture of a family, you don't know how many times they took that picture till they got it to be perfect. You know, everyone was probably secretly farting at that picture, you know? So like, you can't do that comparison. It's just toxic.
Right, right. And of course, you said some of them are fake profiles where they rent a car for the day and they say, this is my car or something.
So exactly.
that's the thing. And then the idea that, you know, joy is internal, right? So we need to create it within. So I think comparing yourself to yourself, you know, as you grow as a human being, you become better. And that's your true comparison. But like I said, a lot of people don't do that, right? They're always trying to look around and see who's better or not. And finally, this is really what I like. This is something very interesting. You do a car dance. Said you pray in the morning, you start dancing, and then you get your energy up, right, that kind of thing. And you said this helped you become a 1% top salesman in a corporation because of this ritual you have of dancing. And then you also talk about, you know, it's kind of like claiming something before you have it. So you celebrate before you get it, right? So you celebrate the whatever it is, the sale, by dancing. You mentioned about this tribe that actually danced for rain. And, you know, they would get the rain. And then someone asked them, how do you do that? And they said, well, we dance until we get the rain. Mm-hmm. So they have faith that it's coming. So how do you do that? Let's say you're not selling nothing, and do you still dance in the morning?
Yes. So I do the car dance. You know, the law of attraction says that whatever you imagine, think, and feel becomes real. You know, if you're a religious person, Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it and you will have it. So if you believe, doctor, that you receive something, how would you respond? Some people would scream. Some people would shout. Me personally, I would dance. And I believe that you should dance as if it's already done. So in that story, I share my book, I danced every day as if I already had a great sales day. And you have to take it one day at a time, because I didn't become number one in the company or number two, whatever, overnight. It was a series of days, weeks, and months. So I did the car dance every single day. And not every day is going to be super amazing. There are going to be some days, like if you're in sales, where you don't get any sales or things don't go your way. But that's okay. That's a test. It's a test to see how bad you want it. So you got to keep dancing, whether it's happening for you or not, because no matter what, as long as you keep the dance going, in the end, you win. And that's what happened to me. And I encourage people to do the same.
I like that. And actually, I'd like to give you guys out here, and you, Wendell, and also my producer, a dance challenge right now. Reggie, can you come here, my producer, Reggie? Reggie's a really sweet guy, but he actually's never had a real date, you know. So we have a bet where I'm going to pay $100 for a date, officially.
I mean, retroactive date.
A relationship.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. There we go.
But anyway, so let's get him to change that. So, Reggie, I want you to imagine that you have got a date with your dream girl. Mm-hmm. You're going to go out. You're going to have a wonderful time. Maybe, you know, find love in this case. Mm-hmm. So let's dance, Reggie, okay? Are you ready, right, Wendell? Are we going to dance with the red deer?
Let's do it.
All right, so I'm going to put on a little music here. All right, let's see if this works. Ready? A 1, 2, 3. All right, come on, Reggie. Let's go. All right, let's go. All right, Reggie, you got it. How's he there? Okay, Reggie, go.
All right, you got the date.
Go, Reggie. Go, Reggie. Come on. Reggie, what are you doing there? Come on.
Yeah, I'm doing what you're doing.
Well, there you go. Okay, dude. Get in there. Come on. Come on, get in there. There you go. All right. All right. All right. Yeah, that's enough. Okay. All right. Sure. Okay. Hey, Reggie, how did you feel about that?
Great.
Okay. Do you feel it's going to bring you what you want in life?
Yeah, really. It does.
Okay. Well, why did you feel that, Reggie?
I don't know. I just felt like I just let go of all my cares, you know? Just like I don't care anybody thinks, you know? Just. Have fun.
Okay. All right. You see what he just said, Wendell? Is that the idea? Just have carelessness. I mean, care, you know, don't worry so much.
Yeah, because I get people, you know, it's funny. I've been caught car dancing so many times out there and people like look at me like I'm crazy. But you know what? You have to dance as if nobody's watching, even if they are. Uh-huh. And it's a beautiful thing because music heals. Mm-hmm. It raises your vibration. And yes. One final point I wanted to make to you is I have this thing. It's called a mood shifter. Oh. What that is no matter how many times you practice gratitude and do the car dance, there's going to be something that happens in your day, especially at 2 p.m. when you've had too many carbohydrates and you need a nap because you've had all this bad news, where your vibration is going to get lower. You're going to have moments of negativity. Right. So a mood shifter is anything that can instantly shift you from negativity to positivity. It could be anything. It could be a picture of your daughter or your son, your pet. It could be a happy memory from the past, something that gets you back to that vibe. And the car dance is a mood shifter. And listening to your favorite song is a mood shifter. So I encourage everybody to always have that in your back pocket. Because if we don't take control of our minds will take control of us, and you're going to go in a downward spiral of negativity. So have that mood shifter, do the car dance. If you have to do it multiple times a day, do it. It works.
That's beautiful. So my mood shifter is visualizing Reggie shaking his thing and dancing, right?
That made me happy to sing that.
It's crazy. Now, do you still have that challenge, something that people post on Instagram or something, they're dancing?
Yeah, exactly. I haven't had too many of it yet, but I am going to promote it even further as the book continues to grow. You know, a car dance challenge, you know, like if you in the morning after you do your morning routine, dance in your car to your favorite song. I'm interested to see what music people are listening to do that.
A lot of fun. So tell me, Wendell, now this is exciting stuff you're doing. What do you got going in the future? Now, tell us a little bit about your products and your website. Where can people get hold of you?
Yes, hopenuggets.com. Also, instagram.com/hopenuggets. I release content every week, motivational videos. If you want to sign up for one-on-one coaching, you can. You can get the book, Have a Magical Day, 7 Keys to Living Happy Every Day on Amazon, also Barnes & Noble and google.com. So just excited. I believe this book, if you read it, it'll change your life. You know, and you can't have a magical life unless you have a series of magical days. So got to take it one day at a time. You got to live in the moment. We have this destination fever, doctor, where we'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I get married, happy when I get promoted, but that's not how it works. You got to be happy where you are right now, and then you attract everything else.
That's wonderful. Wendell, I can see the love coming from you. You know, we talk about extend love your energy without expectation. And that's
yes.
A lot of successes in life because the passion flows from you. It's internal to external.
Correct.
And they materialize things that come through it. And also see that you use words that are very powerful, magical and things like that, you know, that really have power. And you want to help people. I sense there's compassion from you. And that's very beautiful. So definitely go to his website. And Wendell's been wonderful to have you on the show. And we'd love to have you on again, maybe in person, you know, do something together, you know, maybe some kind of events when things get a little nice out here. And you're in San Diego, am I right?
That's correct.
Okay, so we're in Dubai. So again, it's been a pleasure. And lovey energy is the key, right? So keep spreading your lovey energy and your gratitude. That was a great show with our friend Wendell Miracle, an amazing young man who's overcome great obstacles to be a speaker, motivational writer, coach. And he really enlightened us on his approach, which is basically the idea of giving love without expectation, to be grateful, to be optimistic, to help people. The kind of things we talk about here at Love University. It sounds very simple, and in some ways, it's something that you already know, but it's very powerful if you can apply it to your life. So if you'd like to reach us again at Love University, you can visit us at loveuniversity.love. You can like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Love Letter U Podcast. You can subscribe to us on Podbean, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And if you have any questions about today's show, you can contact us at 310-226-8090, loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, loveuniversity.love. Until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Love University, put away your notebooks, your iPads, and go out and dance this week. Get into your car and put on your favorite music and Feel the energy of success. Visualize what you want before you have it. Make sure you give to others. And every day, grow more love. Until next time, Dr. Avila.